Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Scripture reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 5. Verse 1, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase, and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. May God bless those who read his holy word.
This morning we are glad to have Pastor to bring us God's word. Pastor, please.
It's a joy to be able to see God's family, to see each other in church again. Inevitably, and at the same time, at the back of our minds, perhaps there's also this nagging fear about the spread of COVID-19. May the Lord enable us to exercise faith in Him, and as we do, we will experience, and surely the Lord will give you the peace that transcends all understanding. Let's press on. Today's sermon's focus is on quiet time, and I've entitled a message, Obey God's Word in Adversity. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Quiet time. Quiet time is a period of time where we spend time to read the Bible and to pray. It can be as short as 15 minutes. And this time is an important time. It's an important time because, why is it such an important time? It's a time where God speaks to us through His Word, and it's a time where we, after God speaks to us, we respond to Him in prayer, asking Him to help us to obey His Word. Why is quiet time so important? If I hear Christians do not do their quiet time, honestly speaking, I get very worried. I get worried because your quiet time is actually an indication. It's actually a thermometer of your spiritual health. Of course, it doesn't mean that just because you keep a regular quiet time, therefore you're spiritually healthy. But it definitely, almost definitely does mean that if you are not regular in your quiet time, if you don't have a regular quiet time, quite definitely means that you're not well spiritually. So quiet time is important. And why is quiet time so important? Because life is a difficult journey. We face assails on many fronts. We often face difficulties at work, at home, in our health, many things. And there are many harmful things that are spreading in the world that can threaten us, threaten us and our families. So why is quiet time so important? Because God uses quiet time to speak to us the needed word of encouragement, to strengthen us so that we can press on with a holy living, to instruct us so that we will be able to walk in ways that are safe and blessed. God speaks to us. God strengthens us through quiet time. And that's the reason why quiet time is so important. And what is the purpose of our daily quiet time? It is to enable us to continue to obey God's word in adversity. Adversity, for those who do not know this, but I believe you know, adversity means difficult situations. To enable us to obey God's word in difficult situations, in adversity. After today's sermon, it's my sincere hope that you'll be strengthened, encouraged to keep regular quiet time. We shall look at 3 points. Number one, obeying God's word in adversity is the condition for blessing. And number two, obeying God's word in adversity is the evidence of obedience so that God has a reason to bless you. And obeying God's in adversity It's important because man lives and survives by obedience, without which you cannot survive in the world. You can remember these 3 points by the letter C, E, L, and add in an L for yourself so that it becomes Duracell. Cell, just to help you to remember the points, C, E, L, and an L for yourself. So, cell, condition, evidence, and only then you can live. Let's look at point number one. Obeying God's word in adversity is the condition for blessing. Verse 1. Be careful to obey every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land. Yahweh, and I've replaced Yahweh in place of the words that you see, the Lord, L-O-R-D in capital, in uppercase. Okay? But really, I really think that translators should just put in the word Yahweh. Because modern day Jews do not like to feel that you should not use the word Yahweh because it's too holy. That's why, and that's probably the reason why the NIV and many other Bibles, they replace these words with D, capital, in uppercase, L-O-R-D. But Yahweh, okay? Yahweh is a good translation. And possess the land Yahweh promised on oath to your ancestors. So first one tells us that if you want to be blessed by God, there is one condition, only one condition, that is obedience. Obedience is the key to our blessings. But of course, many times we find hard to believe, because sometimes we say, hey, after I obey, I still face this and that difficulty and that situation, right? But the Bible clearly tells us that obedience is the key to blessing. And how do we obey? I want you to take note of several points. One, you have to obey every command. Jews, the rabbis, they categorize the entire Old Testament into 613 commandments. So, obeying every command does not mean that you make sure you obey the 613 commands, and you take 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 613 commandments, therefore, conclude, you'll be blessed. Now, obeying every command does not mean obeying every command in terms of every one of them. What do you mean by obey every command? It means that in every aspect of your life, especially when you face adversities, when you face challenges that will cause you to not to obey God's word, you must obey God's command. That's the meaning of obey every command. It means in every aspect of your life. So it means also that, for example, if you are facing husband and wife problems, then you must turn to, for example, Ephesians chapter 5, and you read that husbands must love their wives unconditionally to the point of death. If the husbands need to die for the wife, the husband must die for the wife. And wives, you must submit to your husbands in everything. Cannot pick and choose, everything. The husbands will have the final say. Now, so the Bible tells us, so if you face bosses and subordinates problems, then you can turn, for example, to 1 Peter. It tells you that subordinates, you have to work for your employer, like working for the Lord, giving the best, like working for the Lord. So, obeying every command means in every aspect of your life, be it your family or your work or your personal life, you have to ensure that you live the way God wants you to live. Not so much as obey the 1001 commandments, but every aspect of your life. And that's important. And that's the key to blessing. And it also says that, before that. So, and that's the reason why it is important for you to read the Bible. If you don't know your Bible, you cannot obey every commandment, right? So you must know your Bible well. Christians must know, but it is, if you say a Christian, then you must read your Bible. Know it well. So I encourage you to read through your Bible at least once in maybe 1 or 2 years. Every time, one or two years, read through the whole Bible once. If you read 4 chapters a day, in 1 year, you'll finish the whole Bible. If you read 2 chapters a day, it takes 2 years. So if you want to read through the Bible in 4 years, then read 1 chapter a day. So you must read through the Bible, you must know your Bible. Now, not only must you know your Bible, it says here, if you are going to be blessed, you must be careful to follow. Means you must not only obey God's word, you must obey correctly. Why is it important for you to obey correctly. The highway allows you to travel at 90 kilometers per hour. You see, you cannot hit the max. Okay, 90 kilometers is the max. Then say, okay, I obey the rule. I'm careful to obey the government's law, 90 kilometers per hour. But then you are obeying it terribly wrongly if you are traveling in the wrong direction. So you may be obeying the 90 kilometers per hour limit, but you travel in the wrong direction. Of course, it's ridiculous. It doesn't happen. But my point is this. If you are going to be careful in obeying the Bible, then you must know the word of God accurately. You must study the word of God like the way a scholar studies the Bible. I'm not saying that everybody will be a Bible scholar, but you must have that precision when you study God. You must study for precision, for exactness. Imagine a doctor who is not well trained. He does the operation on you. You say, "Wow, I'm not going to let this doctor cut me up, right? Because he's not well trained. He doesn't know his work." So in the same way, if we are going to handle our precious soul so that we walk in paths that are safe and blessed, then it is so important for you to know the word of God. Not only know, but know it with precision and exactness. Then your soul will be well and safe and healthy. And I urge you to attend adult Sunday school, to attend classes, because this is a time where you can interact with teachers, can ask questions, and you can clarify your doubts. And because the teachers are trained, they are trained, they will be able to provide you the right interpretation. They will teach you how to interpret the Bible too. So it's important for you to faithfully attend adult Sunday school and children's Sunday school and teen Sunday school. So you must be, if you are going to be careful in opening the Bible, then you must be exact, be precise in your understanding of the Bible. And when you do that, when you get serious with God, lock in serious time to study the Bible. I kept missing my points. Before that, some Christians have a false sense of security. They think that I know Greek, I know Hebrew, then I can interpret the Bible, I've read through the Bible. They have a false sense of security that they are doing well. But you are not going to be blessed until you take the final, most important step, that is to put into practice the Word of God. You must do the Word of God. And how do you practice the Word of God? For example, after you read, when the Bible instructs you, you must help the needy, for example. Okay? So, doing the Word of God means you put into practice what you learned, but if you're going to put into practice what you learned, don't wait for opportunities to come. Don't wait for a needy person to come your way, then you practice the Word of God. See, well, no needy people cannot do the Word of God. Your attitude should be, instead of waiting for a needy person to come into your midst, to cross your path, seek them out. Think about, who is in need? Then if you really can identify a needy person, say, everybody is earning big bucks, so no need my money. Then do something. You can do this. Just render help to somebody, anyone. Better than not doing the Word of God, right? So my point is this, if you are going to be blessed, you must take this final critical step of doing the Word of God. And if you want to do the Word of God, don't wait for opportunities to come. Do it. Seek opportunities. Create the opportunity. And then when you do that, you'll be blessed. And the Lord will bless Israel with land. And why land? Why this blessing? Because Israel is a nation, so the most important blessing for them, the thing that they need most, is a piece of land. Because with land, they can farm the land, they can have barley, they can have wheat, they can bricks to eat. That's what the Middle Easterners, the ancient Israelites eat. Then they can also have a place to work, to raise their family. They can be protected from enemies that surround them. So they can have a place to stay. And most importantly, they can build the God's temple and worship God. So they need a piece of land. Today we don't need a piece of land. So how will God bless us? The point is this. Just as God gives them the most important thing that they need, and which will bless them wholesomely, God will do the same for us when we obey God's word. And so Christians, I urge you, you must find opportunities to put into practice the word of God. Don't wait for opportunities to come. Then you'll be blessed. And God will bless you with wholesome blessings so that you are truly happy in your heart. So that you are truly blessed in your life. Surely you desire God's blessing. I'm sure you want God to bless you because they are wholesome. But you must make a decision, and I urge you to make this decision now before you leave this place. Don't say, hey, I'll make this decision later. And what must you decide? You must decide to get serious about reading and studying the Bible. Do you lock in serious time to study the Bible? Like what I said, Sunday school is one of the best because it's very hard, to be honest, it's very hard for you to discipline yourself in your free time to study the Bible. Maybe you do that. Some people do that. But most people don't because you're not disciplined. And that's the reason why you must come for Sunday school. Sunday school is the place where the time, the place, the people are fixed. So you cannot run away. Then you're forced to stay there and study the Bible. But you must get serious about reading and studying the Bible. And say, I must practice God's word. Then you'll be blessed. Number two. But how do you know whether somebody is truly doing the word of God? How do you know this person is serious about practicing the word of God? That he has a heart of obedience. Now this is how you tell, this is the evidence of obedience. The evidence of obedience that will bring blessing is this. Verse 2. Remember how Yahweh your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years? And how did Yahweh lead them? Lead them in ways that are peaceable, that are blessed, that are happy, that are prosperous, is it? We get an unpleasant surprise. This is how Yahweh led Israel. All the way in the wilderness these 40 years. Yahweh not only led them in the wilderness, Yahweh purposely led them to the wilderness. Yeah. Yahweh purposely led them to the wilderness. And extend the time from several days to 40 years. Oh dear. You say, why? Before I tell the reason, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, as Christians, we are not afraid of sufferings in life. When sufferings come, we sorrow, we are frightened because we are uncertain about the future. It's natural. But as Christians, you don't need to be too afraid. You'll be a little bit afraid, but no need to be too afraid. You'll be sorrowful, but no need to be too sorrowful. Why? Because these trials in life do not come from destiny. Destiny is heartless. It does not care about whether it's painful or not painful to you. It does not come from destiny. It's not controlled by destiny. These trials in life come from not only the mighty, the wise hands of God, it comes from the loving hands of your Father. And that's the reason why Christians do not need to be afraid of trials in life. Because it comes from the loving hands of our Father. And because it comes from these loving hands, it will work to your advantage. Rest assured, you may be bitten here and there, mosquito bites here and there, or maybe bitten here and there. But you can rest assured that you will emerge unscathed. You will emerge unharmed. And this is God's promise to you. So take heart. Don't be too afraid. Press on. And why did God lead them to the wilderness and for a period of 40 years? But it's not forever, right? 40 years. Long, but not forever. Same here. Sufferings in life, not forever. You'll pass. But why did God lead them to the wilderness for 40 years? And the purpose is to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would obey His commands. Is to test you. These are testings come from God. Recently you studied the book of Genesis, right? Perhaps some of you have wondered, why didn't God just put in the tree of life? That's good enough, right? Why must God put in the tree of knowledge and say they cannot eat? Put in something there and then say they cannot eat. Because before they can receive eternal life, they have to pass this test first. That's the point. And in the same way, how God led Adam and Eve, God leads us in the same way. God led Israel in the same way. And God will continue to lead us in the same way. You understand? How God led our first ancestors, Adam and Eve? God did the same for the Israelites. God will also do the same for you today, us modern Christians. God will test us. Trials are sent to test us. To test us what? To test us, to test to see if our heart has a heart of obedience or not. We must be tested, then we will know whether we obey or not. This is something that every teacher will understand. That's why you have examinations. If you want to get promoted from primary 1 to primary 2, you must pass your test. If you want to graduate from primary school to secondary school, you must pass your PSLE. Surely, I'm sure you have this experience, right? Somebody teaches you how to do this, how to operate this machine, and then you understand? Yeah, I understand. And then, okay, now you do it for yourself. And then you I don't know. Then you realize there are many things you do not know, right? And you will only know whether you know or not when you put your hands in to do it. That's the thing. God must test you. Then when you are tested, you will there's evidence that you are truly obedient. Then God has a reason to bless you. And that's the reason why when times are difficult, you must pass the test. You must not give up on God. You must say, no mood to come to church, no mood to read the Bible, no mood to pray, no mood to share the gospel anymore because they don't work. All the more, in times of adversity, you must obey God because God is testing you. You must pass the test because this, only when you pass the test, then God will bless you. You must pass the test because if you fail the test, guess what will God do to you? You guess? Repeat the primary one. Right? You want, if your teacher likes fail primary 1, go to primary 2, fail primary 2, go to primary 3, and then always primary 6. And then you have to take PSLE, right? Well, this time cannot bluff because it's a government exam. Then you cannot enter secondary school, right? So it is so important for you to pass the test. If not, you have to retake your test. In other words, the fact of life is this. These trials that God sent to you, if you don't learn to obey God in such times, it may pass, this time will pass away, but one day this test will come back again because God remembers that you have not done well, you have not passed the test yet. So don't keep on repeating your primary one. Pass the test. And how do you pass the test? It's by obeying the Word of God. And obeying the Word of God means even though you are not in the mood to do so, when it's time to read your Bible, time to pray, time to come to church, you must do so. When it's time to go and go to the market, now market are contaminated. Go to NTUC is not too bad. Go to NTUC to buy your meat and your vegetables, and then time to cook dinner, right? Must go and cook dinner, cannot say no mood. This is how you obey God. Are you going through difficult times? My heart goes to you. Each time when I hear you get promotion, when you're doing well at work, let me tell you, in school, let me tell you, I'm very happy. But when you are going through difficult times, you can be sure, I feel very uncomfortable and you are in my prayers. You are in my prayers. Okay? Are you going through difficult times? And as a result, you're angry with God and angry with people? See, it's this fella, God, then God didn't help me. What's the point of obeying God? No point, Now, dear brother and sister in the Lord, God is testing you. During such times, choose faith in God. Don't give up on God. And start by being responsible about daily life and spiritual things. Start by doing this. Then, this is called obedience. And why is it important for you to obey God's word in adversity? Because obedience is critical to survival. Obedience will determine whether you die or you survive. And that's what verses 3 to 5 teaches. Verse 3, He humbled you. God humbled means God allowed Israel to face adversity, difficult situations. Humble means very difficult. So your back gets lower and lower. Wow, very difficult. Because burden is getting heavier and heavier. So you're humble. You bend your back. Okay. So God humbled you, allows you to face difficult situations in life. How often? You guess? How often did God allow them to face difficulties? Every day. You read after you see every day. God uses everyday circumstances to not to torture them, to discipline them. Every day. Why every day? Because it's only when you face difficult situations every day, then you will learn to depend on God and His Word and His promises every day. So God uses daily situations to teach you that you need God every day. Let's look at how God humbled, put the Israelites into difficult situations to teach them this very important truth. One, God causing you to hunger. God brought them to the wilderness and allowed them to hunger. I think you didn't hear what I said. God led them purposely to the wilderness. It was not a case where they had no choice, that they led them up. The wilderness is a must-go route. No choice. Because you want to go from here to there, you must pass through the wilderness. It's not true. There's actually a shorter route if you look at the geography. There was actually a shorter route and an easier route, no? But for some reasons, God led them purposely to the wilderness, to difficult situations. That's why difficult situations actually come from the hand of God. It's not by chance. Nothing happens by chance in the world, in your life. Nothing. Everything, there's a reason and a good reason for your soul, for your advantage. Don't be afraid. God purposely led them to hunger because wilderness no food to eat. And why did God allow purposely led them to a place where there's no food, causing you to hunger? Just when they have no food, you say, well, this time sure die. Then something happened. And then feeding you with manna. Manna, the literary food that comes up from heaven. Some people will dig it. You think what? Pray to God and then food come down from heaven. Yeah, really, the food really came down from heaven. Manna that came down from heaven. And why did God feed them with food that comes up from heaven? Because this manna, look at how Moses, the author, describes it. It is, which is neither you nor your ancestors has known. It is something that you and your father and your grandfather and your great-great-great-grandfather and the past generations, nobody in the world has ever seen such food before. Means what? Hey, this thing, what? No human being has ever seen it. Surely, it means what? It's food that comes from God. If this food must come from God, nobody else. Because we have never seen such food before. So this food must come from God. God gave us the food. That's the point. So when they are so hungry, and then God clearly gives them food to eat, then they realize one thing. Now I understand. Had it not been for God who gave me the food, I would have starved to death in the wilderness. Thank God, man. And then they will learn this precious lesson, this most important lesson, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone. So that they will learn from experience in a very deep way that for human beings to survive, it does not depend on bread. It does not depend on what kind of connections you have with people to get things done. It does not depend on how clever you are, how intelligent you are, how crafty you are, how cunning you are. No. Man does not live on bread alone. And if human beings are going to survive, then how are we going to survive? It says here, but on every word that comes from the mouth of Yahweh. Then you learn that, now I know the lesson. Now I know the truth. If I want to survive, the only way is the promises of God must help me. The word of God must feed me, must direct me, must teach me how to live life. The promise of God that God will take care of me must be true. Then I can survive. Then you read the Bible. Then we will desire God's word and read the Bible every day. And that's how God teaches us. Do not let sufferings in life go to waste. We don't like sufferings. I don't like your soul. I often tell God, if I can be spared from this suffering, please spare me. But I know sufferings are good for my life, although I don't like them. I say, if I can be spared, please spare me. But when sufferings come, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, they are a crisis, but do you know that they are an opportunity for you to reap big benefits, big bucks out of it? Why? Because they are crafted. God crafted them with His mighty and wise and loving hands. so that you can learn a very precious truth. Because after you learn the truth, it will be a blessing to you for the rest of your life. So learn the lesson the hard way first. But after you've learned the lesson properly, this truth will bless you all your life, you and your generations of families. Because, and they are meant to teach you a precious truth, what? That God is dependable. So each time when sufferings come, don't whine. Don't complain. Complain a little bit, lah, but not too much. Can whine a little bit, but don't whine until people dislike you. People say, well, this fellow is really whiny. We'll be afraid, but don't be too afraid. Learn the lesson. Suck in the vitamins that gives you. It's meant to teach you that God is dependable. And if during this crisis, you humbly obey God's word, God will save you. God won't let you die. How can God let you die? He's your father. What? God will save you if you obey God's word during these adversities. And the second way that God taught them was to deprive them of clothes and mobility. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell these 40 years. They are in the wilderness. They don't have too many extra sets of clothes. I don't know how many sets they have. Maybe one set, two sets. In Jesus' time, in the ancient times, most of them have only one set of clothes. Too poor. Okay? So probably they have only one or two sets. At the most, two sets of clothes. But surprisingly, the clothes didn't have holes, no? After 40 years. It's still maybe a bit yellowish, but still wearable. Didn't stretch until and didn't have holes. Moth isn't it. How come? Strange. And not only that, but God did not give them extra clothes. You know, if we are going to go on, when we go for tour, we'll bring this that clothes just in case it rains, and then we bring extra t-shirt, like extra shorts, right? But then they are going to travel from Egypt to this Israel, the promised land. It's the line of sight by aeroplane is about 635 kilometers, 600 plus kilometers. So, but then God is like that. God makes them go all over the place. And there was a time when God led them from the north all the way to Africa, to south, and then come back again. Well, you can imagine all the way down is several thousand kilometers. So they had to walk such long distances. Right? God didn't supply them horses or donkeys. God could have, right? Or beasts of burdens, right? Or maybe some cow or sheep where they can ride on it, right? Or let the children ride on a sheep or what, right? But God didn't give them horses or donkeys to ride on. But yet, surprisingly, their feet did not swell. Say, wow, God, this is real long, don't go trekking. Better give me a pair of Adidas shoes. But God didn't give them Adidas shoes. And surprisingly, their feet did not swell. Then they learned the lesson. God's provision. The reason why we survive is not because of food, because of our abilities. God, help me. God's word is truly reliable. Then they will learn the lesson. It is God and God's word, God's promises of kindness that keeps them alive daily. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, verse 5, so Yahweh, your God, disciplines you. Then Moses gives a summary, gives a conclusion. Know then that in these past 40 years, God led them in the wilderness, learn the lesson. God was disciplining you as Yahweh, as a father disciplines his son. God was training you for better things. Therefore, learn the lesson. Know then in your heart. Learn the lesson in your heart. Let it sink deep. Internalize it in your heart. Deep in your heart. In other words, know deeply in your heart this truth. Only obedience to God's word can save you. Therefore, you must desire God's word. Therefore, you must do your quiet time. Therefore, you must read your Bible daily. Don't be lazy. Don't treat it as a burden. Because God's word alone can save you. Let me give a summary of what I've spoken today. Remember the CEL? One, condition. The condition for blessing is obedience. I urge you, before you leave this place, won't you resolve that I will do my quiet time? Resolve it. See, I'm not going to give excuses anymore. I will do my quiet time. I will keep a regular quiet time. Do so. By the way, for those who are in the Sunday school, I will be asking your teachers to check your quiet time. So every week when you meet, your teacher will say, okay, how many days? In 7 days. And I will check on your teacher, so don't worry. And then I will make sure I tell your teacher my quiet time also. So I'm also accountable to your teachers. Okay? So elders and deacons and your Sunday school teachers will be checking your quiet time. Okay? I don't mean to make things difficult, but it's really for your soul's sake. Okay? So after a little while, I will not do it forever. After a little while, I will stop checking. Okay? So will you resolve in the heart to do your quiet time and obey God's will? Resolve, because it's critical. It's the critical condition for blessing. And number two, E, evidence. The evidence of an obedient heart so that God will bless you is when you obey God's word, not in peaceful times. Peaceful time cannot tell. Peaceful time, everybody is very happy. No need to go and push a person to do right. No need. Very easy. Because happy, ma. But it is in adversities that will reveal the true state of your heart. So, brothers, and God looks at you this way. In adversities, do you obey me or not? That will determine whether God blesses you or not. Adversities is the time where you will tend not to obey. But it's precisely the time where you must obey. Don't doubt God. Number three, obey because we live by obeying God's word. Because if you want to survive, you must understand that God's word, only God's word can sustain you. Sometimes we think that our will enable us to survive. And then God sometimes has to teach us a lesson. You know how God teaches you a lesson sometimes? God sends a lightning from the sky and then pop, and then hit one of your areas. And then make you helpless. And then with the helpless, you're like, oh, wow, I'm helpless. Hey, please pray for me. I'm in trouble, no? Please help me. Ask God to help me. And then you will realize that you need God. But this is how God teaches us, no? So I urge you, so if you don't read your Bible, don't do it quiet time. I'm not cursing you. But if you do not desire God's word, God will teach you to desire God's word. Because it's important, not because God wants to make life miserable, because God knows that it's good for you. So God will definitely teach you to desire God's word. So the earlier you start your quiet time, the better it is for you. Don't wait for God to force you to know that you need God's word by sending difficult times, situations in your life. So start your quiet time. Start desiring God. Start logging in serious time in studying God's word. Start coming for Sunday school. We need God's word to live. And when you live by God's word, dear brothers and sisters, I tell you, it's very good. It's really very good. Because when you live by God's word, you're not afraid, no? Things may come, situations may be difficult, but in your heart, somehow you have a very stable peace. You're not afraid of anything. We will be sad, we'll be sorrowful, but we're not afraid. It's a very strange thing, because somehow the word of God stabilizes your heart. And then, during such difficult, dark times, because you have the word of God in your heart, you know what to do, what not to do, what to do. And you have the strength to do right. It's a very strange thing. This is the power of God's word. You can only obey God daily if you read the Bible. Why did God send them things that affect their daily life? Shoes, legs to walk, food, clothes. These are daily problems, right? Why is God trying to tell them? God purposely sent daily problems that affect their daily life to teach them what? You need God daily. Therefore, you must read the Bible daily. That's the reason for quiet time. So that you know, I need to read God's word. And you must do that. So start your quiet time today. Select a place, time, a certain book. And after you read God's word, ask yourself these questions. Is there anything I must change? Or is there anything I must obey? Or is there anything, any truth that I must believe? So, do, change, believe. That's called your quiet time. Then you have learned a lesson. Little bit by bit, you find that your life will be washed, will be cleansed. Bit by bit, just like every day you wash your clothes, one fine day the stain will go away. Then you'll be white again. You'll be a beautiful person again. God will speak to you personally and daily through your quiet time. What He says will provide strength for the day's challenge. So sometimes what God speaks to you at that time happens to be the problem you face, happens to be the word that you need. Thank God lah. But oftentimes, what you read for the day may not be directly applicable to your life situation on that day. Why? Because sometimes God says that this is a problem, I know lah, but it's not urgent, it's not that important. I have a more important truth to teach you. So God teaches us truth in advance to prepare us for future challenges, to guide us in future ways so that we walk right. So don't always think that sometimes Christians say that, oh yeah, today's quiet time, didn't learn much. Actually, your meaning of didn't learn much, it's not so much the word of God didn't speak to you, no? You didn't learn much means what, no? Means not directly applicable to it. Today, I just broke up with my girlfriend, my boyfriend. I'm very sad, no? But God's word didn't talk about girlfriend, boyfriend. Not applicable, God's word didn't speak to me. Didn't learn much, lah. But it's not true. God said, okay, girlfriend, boyfriend, I know important, lah. But there's something more important that you must learn. So God teaches you in advance. That's the reason why every quiet time, you must make sure you learn it properly. Then be blessed. May this verse encourage you. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, daily, day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you do not leave us as orphans in this world to face this world and its sufferings alone, but you have left us with the most precious gift. Not only have you given us the most precious gift of the Holy Spirit teaches us via your word. You have given us your most precious word that can nourish, comfort, and guide us to walk in ways that are safe and blessed. Help us to work hard in reading your word, to maintain a regular quiet time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a word. I'm so happy to see all of you.